RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
A happy Tuesday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. It is our final day of previews in college football. Yesterday, we wrapped up the NFL previews. Today, our final preview, we're looking at the Utah Utes. Porter Larson going to join us here in just a little bit to talk about Utah looking for a bounce back season, their second year in the Big 12. We'll also dive into the Big 10 today. I'll give out all my favorite win totals, a Heisman pick that I like in the Big 10, who I think is going to end up winning the Big 10 title, and then a couple teams I would keep an eye on to make the playoff potentially out of the Big 10 as well. And then we will get into the Week 1 college slate, all of the marquee games. I got 9 of them, including Utah and UCLA. We'll dive into that game amongst others, give out some best bets, then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. As always, any questions, any comments, any best bets that you guys have for us, let us know. You can hit us up at the BetMGM Network on Twitch, on YouTube, on X. Anything that you guys have on Utah especially, make sure you send those questions in. And as always, any previews that you guys have missed as you're getting ready for the college football season, including today's episode, all available to Send It In podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get rolling on a Tuesday. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line and check in with Porter Larson, who joins us. Give Porter a follow on X at Larson_ESPN, host of Utes Game Day. Make sure you guys listen to ESPN 700, where you can check out Porter as well. Porter, great having you on, man. Utah is going to be a real interesting team this upcoming season, because last year, we're really not used to Utah finishing below 500. They went 5-7. They're looking for a bounce back in their second year in the Big 12. What did Kyle Whittingham do this offseason to really improve this roster? What were the areas that he was really focused on trying to get better?
Yeah, well, when you go back to last year, a 5-7 result, right? Only the second or third time that's happened in Kyle Whittingham's era. He knew he had to go back to the drawing board, knew he had to reset and figure something out. Now, the easy part here is that it was not difficult to diagnose what went wrong last year with Utah. Their entire roster was hurt, right? So, yes, you start looking at maybe some things behind the scenes. You start looking at what your training loads are, what your weeks look like leading up to practice. And I think he's made some adjustments there. But ultimately, the reality is that he went out and got a new quarterback. He went out and got a new offensive coordinator. He went out and got a new running back. He went out and got a lot of productivity from places around the country, right? New Mexico, most notably, that was the fourth best offense in the country per a lot of metrics. and they liked what they saw with Jason Beck. And there's some history there with Jason and a lot of guys on staff, both here at Utah and at BYU and just around the state. And I think there's a lot of confidence that, you know, you go back and look at the 5-7 record last year. Those games were all so close. If your offense is just average or just above average, you're knocking on maybe an 8-win season. You're looking at bowl games. You're looking at maybe if the Big 12 is wide open as we think it might be, getting into that game. And I think that's what Utah is hoping for. They've added a lot of skill positions. They've bolstered their offensive line, which is expected to be one of the better ones in the country. And then they do feel like they have the skill position players to kind of put them over the hump on the offensive side. As always, hopefully stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, look, injuries, like you said, that was really the big storyline of last year. And just the quarterbacks, obviously Cam Rising, it didn't work out. Porter, I think from an outside perspective, all of us were kind of talking how maybe the Cam Rising, you know, every week, not knowing whether he was going to play, kind of wore on the team a little bit. Like, do you think there's some validity to that as somebody who covers the team, knows the team as well as you do? Do you think that uncertainty of whether or not he would be out there every Saturday wore on the team and kind of moving on from Cam, looking at the Devin Dampier era, like that is going to be better for the Utes this season?
No, it absolutely was. It was something that it was tough on the team, not because it was, you know, like drama or uncertainty behind the scenes. They kind of knew what was going on behind the scenes. The thing was is that Cam wanted to be on the field so bad, and they knew and they had seen what Cam Rising can do for that team when they're on the field. And he wasn't just their quarterback. If you guys are around that team through the Rose Bowl run, through they had the players that passed away, right? Cam was their entire like energy as well, right? He was an energetic leader more than just the quarterback, and you really felt that hit when he was either not there or he was on the sideline and, you know, questionable going into the game. Now here's the thing, there was also points during the season where they knew Cam wasn't going to play, but publicly they maybe pulled some strings so that the other teams didn't know Cam was going to play. They did that at UCLA. Cam came out and played and warmed up against UCLA, went through warmups with the first team, and at no point during that week was he ever going to dress and actually play. That was a little gamesmanship by Kyle Whittingham, and it actually forced UCLA to start doing some things pregame that they maybe weren't prepping for. It was interesting to see, and then we come to find out that Cam was nowhere near actually playing in that football game. So there was some gamesmanship behind the scenes that I think in the locker room it wasn't as uncertain as it was sometimes publicly, but there was a lot of, you know, lack of communication, a lot of pressure on Cam in a new age where he's getting paid by sponsors, he's getting NIL money from a car dealership, right? There was more pressure around him to just be on the field. Then I think there was, you know, he wasn't comfortable with that. And on top of it, his coach wanted him to, you know, kind of keep quiet about it. And that's kind of what caused a lot of the drama. But I do think the reset was needed and should help this team go forward. Nothing against Cam Rising. He gave the program kind of everything he could, physically and otherwise. But the reset, I think, will definitely help this team kind of turn the page.
We're talking Utah here with Porter Larson. Give Porter a follow on X at @Larson_ESPN. Defensively, we normally don't have questions, Porter, about that side of the ball when it comes to Utah and Kyle Whittingham. They should be really good again on that side of the ball. If there was an area of concern or maybe a question mark going into the season about the Utah defense, what would it be?
Yeah, well, I asked Morgan Scalley about this in the spring, and he said depth at cornerback and defensive tackle, right? The reason for that is because they've lost guys to the draft. They've lost guys to transfer. As you know, Keanu Tanivasa, one of their best defensive tackles from last year, all-conference guy, went to BYU, their rival. So replacing that production on the inside is kind of what they're really looking at. But I think they have the bodies to go through as you guys are familiar with, a deep rotation at defensive tackle. Aliki Vimahi, Dallas Vakalahi, they have there. You'll hear a bunch of Polynesian names in the middle. A kid named Pupu, who has really kind of busted on the scene during fall camp. So I think they've kind of figured out a good four, maybe five-man rotation at defensive tackle. And then the other question was at cornerback. Who was going to play opposite of Elijah Davis as that starter? And it seems as though Blake Cotton, a transfer, is kind of taking that role. He's 6'2", 195 pounds, right? He's a really good kind of a pro body as a corner, but is still really learning Morgan Scalley's defense and that man press zone that they like to run. I think that it's probably going to be Elijah Davis and Blake Cotton at those corners. And then Smith Snowden, a guy who you probably will see playing both sides of the football this year, is going to be their slot, their nickel in the corner position. But those are the two kind of question marks. They're experienced at defensive end. They've got a bunch of guys in the linebacker room with Lander Barton, Lavani DeMooney, and others. At safety, they're pretty set there. So I think if there were question marks about this defense, it's at cornerback and it's about depth at D tackle. But they have the bodies there. It's more just about seeing who's going to get those reps.
Yeah, fair enough. Let's talk about the schedule. Porter, I want to ask you a couple questions about that. Let's start with the week one game, an old Pac-12 matchup, UCLA and Utah. Now we get one out of the Big Ten and one out of the Big 12. But what do you make of this matchup, UCLA year two under their new coach? They should be a little bit better. And then Utah, obviously the first game of Devin Dampier trying to come back after a disappointing season. How do you see that game playing out on Saturday night?
Yeah, I think week one's always tough to prognosticate. We're going to see both of these teams not at a completed project, right? This is going to be a in process that we're seeing both UCLA and Utah. I think that going into this game, even though we just talked about how Utah's got a new offensive coordinator, a new quarterback, a new running back, a bunch of new faces on defense as well, I still think there's more questions about UCLA. Nico is a phenomenal talent. I still think he's learning to play the quarterback position, right? Mm-hmm. Takes me back to like early days of when Colin Kaepernick was at Nevada. He was clearly a phenomenal talent, but he was like running around with the chicken wing, the ball outside. He was just throwing across the field. He wasn't playing the quarterback position well, but he was so talented that he was making plays, right? I think Nico can do a lot of those type of things. So at any given moment, he can make a game-changing play. UCLA on the defensive side, I think there's a lot of questions there. Up front, you know, they've got some really good pieces up front and in the interior defensive line, but man, there's not many position groups at UCLA that I don't have a question about. And for me, I just feel that Utah is a little ahead of them as far as building this thing, right? They're more plug and play, where UCLA is really trying to get something started. And, you know, we have, what, a 6.5, 7-point spread, depending on where you look, and I think that's pretty fair. Mm-hmm. I think I take Utah there, and I do think that they come in and win this game. I'm higher on Utah in week one than I might be on Utah big picture, sure. just because of where they set up with UCLA, where I think UCLA is. And frankly, we talked a little bit before we came on air about Kyle Whittingham and his LA roots. Man, he's had the Bruins number for a decade plus. I don't really see any reason for that changing, especially with all the turnover that they're having to deal with this offseason.
We got about a minute left. Porter, you talk big picture. What is your prediction for Utah this season? Do you think they get to the Big 12 title game this year? Do you see them winning 9, 10 games in about 60 seconds? What's your prediction for the Utes this year?
Yeah, man, well, we're going to learn a lot about Utah early. You get UCLA, a Big 10 opponent, on the road, and then you get your two tune-up games in Laramie and against Cal Poly, and then it's Texas Tech. It's the team that in the Big 12 you look at is, a competitor as far as the NIL goes, as far as whatever the future of college football looks like. Man, they're in a good position with that right now. They lost their running back. We know that's another story. But we're going to learn a lot. Number 23, Texas Tech, comes into Rice-Eccles in about a month. And then Utah has a pretty tough Big 12 schedule. BYU, Arizona State, you've got a lot of really good opponents on that schedule. Kansas, and you finish Kansas and Kansas State. I think that Utah is good enough, and if healthy, and if Jason Beck and Devin Dampier can replicate something like what they did at New Mexico, I think this is a team that can win 9-10 games. But man, I think there's not a huge margin of error because of all of the new pieces that are put together, right? If they're not clicking early, I think we'll have a pretty good idea. But yeah, no, I think this is a team that if I were to really estimate as of right now, I'm putting them at 8-9 wins. I could see them getting to 10 if healthy all year, and if Jason Beck really gets this thing going and looking like the offense we saw in New Mexico.
Should be a fun season for Utah. He's Porter Larson. Give him a follow on X at @Larson_ESPN, host of Utes Game Day, and listen to him as well on ESPN 700. Porter, appreciate the time, man. Have a great season. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, anytime, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Great stuff there. Porter Larson joining us to talk a little Utah here on Send It In. Let's continue previewing the Utes here on Send It In. One of the co-favorites this year at BetMGM to win the Big 12 at plus 550. For them to just make the Big 12 title game is plus 275. For them to make the college football playoff, plus 450. And then the win total for Utah is 8.5. The over, plus 115. The under is minus 135. Utah does have a challenging schedule, right? I mean, you look at the Big 12 opponents that they have. As Gertz getting ready to put that up on the screen, they're playing a lot of the top teams. Porter mentioned the Texas Tech game that kicks off Big 12 play for them. They also have Arizona State and Kansas State at home. And then you have road trips to Baylor and BYU, Kansas at the end of the season, West Virginia, that's a cross-country trip. And then in the non-conference, UCLA to kick off the season on Saturday. They have to go to Wyoming. They're going to be big favorites in that game, but playing in Laramie, never an easy place to play. Difficult schedule for Utah. This is going to look like your typical Utah team. Great on the line of scrimmage, good offensive line, good defensive line. As Porter mentioned, maybe defensive tackle, corner, the question marks for that defense, but they're going to be really solid. It's really going to come down to the quarterback, Devin Dampier. They do bring their his offensive coordinator from New Mexico with him, Jason Beck, to Utah. We know Oklahoma's doing the same thing with John Mateer, bringing his OC from Washington State. So Utah is doing the same thing. I would expect to see a lot of college programs do that now in kind of this portal era. Go after the big-time quarterback, pay him some money, and bring his OC with him if you can. That is what Utah is doing this season. To me, that's always the difference with Utah. They're kind of like Iowa in the sense, you know, they're going to be good running the football. They're going to be good on the line of scrimmage. They're going to be good defensively. What are you going to get out of the quarterback position from Utah? Kyle Whittingham, one of the better coaches in the country, one of my favorite coaches in the country. What's interesting, though, about Utah, when we've been previewing all these Big 12 teams, I keep harping on it, but what's the thing we continue to talk about? All the returning quarterbacks that these teams have, right? Arizona State, Kansas State, Iowa State, Baylor, Texas Tech. You run through the list. All these teams have returning quarterbacks who played for their team last year. Utah is really the only team towards the top of the list that does not have that. And that is where I'm concerned. We're making Utah a co-favorite with the most important position in sports. And even though Dampier was a good player at New Mexico, this ain't New Mexico anymore. You're playing for Utah. You're playing in the Big 12. You're playing in way more nationally televised games, in way more difficult places to play against way better teams with way better defenses. So that uncertainty at quarterback for Utah, it has me a little torn on what to do with the Utes this season. Good coach like Whittingham, good program like Utah. They go 5-7 last year with some bad injury luck. Chances are they probably bounce back and have a very good season. If I were to bet that win total, I'd probably go over 8.5, especially since you're getting plus money at plus 115. That schedule's tough, though. That UCLA game on Saturday is not going to be an easy one. And Look, they do get three really good opponents at home. We know Bryce Echols is a very difficult place to play. Are they going to beat Arizona State, Kansas State, and Texas Tech all at home? Are they going to win all those games? I don't know. Then how many of those road games are they going to win at BYU, at Baylor, at Kansas? Like, the number feels about right with Utah. I can't bet them, though, to win the Big 12 at plus 550 when all these other teams in the Big 12 have these quarterbacks returning, and Utah went out in the portal and had to get a new guy. So I'm staying away from the Utes this season. They're going to be a week-by-week team for me, but they're going to be much improved. They're going to look like the Utah we normally see most seasons, but I'm staying away from the Utes. All right, let's talk a little Big Ten here on Send It In. Yesterday, we looked at the SEC. Today, we are looking at the Big Ten. Three teams whose win totals I like in the Big Ten. Our guy Brian Gerch is filling in for Sean this week as VP, and I'm taking Indiana over 8.5 wins at plus 110. I look at Indiana's schedule, and there are three games that I see where I'm like, they're probably going to lose those games. At Iowa, at Oregon, at Penn State. Three difficult games. Outside of that, the schedule's pretty easy for Indiana. It's pretty much all those bottom teams in the conference. They do play Illinois at home, which could be a tricky game. But that's the thing about Cignetti, man, and that's why they were so good last year, is Cignetti beats the teams that he's supposed to beat. If his team's better than yours, if there's a coach on the other sideline who he's much better than, he's going to win those matchups. His team doesn't beat themselves. They don't get penalties. They don't commit turnovers. They know who they are. So they're probably going to lose at Oregon. They're probably going to lose at Penn State, and they're probably going to lose at Iowa too. But those are really the only losses I see for Indiana. I see this team at about an 8 or a 9 win team. The fact we're getting plus money for Indiana to have 9 wins this season, I'm going over 8.5 for the Hoosiers. Speaking of Iowa, I also like their over as well, over 7.5 at plus 115. Now, Iowa's schedule, much more difficult than Indiana's. They have the Hoosiers, Penn State, and Oregon all at home this season. And then on the road, they got to play Nebraska, USC, and Iowa State, the Cy-Hawk game coming up in a couple weeks. Kirk Ferentz has had Matt Campbell's number in that rivalry, so it wouldn't surprise me if Iowa went on the road and beat Iowa State. Going out to USC isn't going to be easy, but again, Lincoln Riley-type teams tend to struggle with these Big Ten teams that are good defensively, want to run the football, and then Nebraska's a rivalry game. That's a coin flip, toss-up type game. Anything could go in that direction. And yes, they're going to be underdogs to Oregon and Penn State, and Indiana will be a tough game as well. But man, Kinnick is a difficult place to play, especially at night. And I think both the Oregon and the Penn State game likely have the chance to be that NBC night game. And if Iowa can get night games against Penn State and Oregon, they could win both of those games. So I like the plus money with Iowa. I think they have the best quarterback in the Kirk Ferentz era that they have had in a long time in Mark Gronkowski, who comes over from South Dakota State. He won the Heisman Trophy version of FCS with the Jackrabbits. So he's a good quarterback, and we know Iowa's going to be good running the football and great on defense. So Iowa over 7.5 wins, I'll take that as well. And then give me Michigan under 8.5 wins at plus 145. They're at Oklahoma, at Nebraska, at USC this season. I think they lose all those games. They also have the Buckeyes at home. I think Ohio State finally gets them. Sherrone Moore still has some of those Jim Harbaugh players in his program. He's doing a nice job recruiting. He obviously got the number one overall recruit in Bryce Underwood. But the difference between Sherrone Moore as a head coach and Jim Harbaugh as a head coach is night and day. And we're putting a lot of pressure and expectation on Bryce Underwood to be really good at this win total. I'm going plus money, plus 145, under 8.5 wins for Michigan. To make the college football playoff, Nebraska plus 500. I've talked about Nebraska plenty on this show. Year three of Matt Rhule. Look at his track record at Temple. Look at his track record at Baylor. Year three, he won double-digit games both of those schools. That's when he tends to take off. I'll take a shot with Nebraska plus 500. Iowa, I'd keep an eye on. Like I told you guys, Oregon and Penn State both at home. They can win both of those games. Those will be two strong talking points for the committee, so keep an eye on them. And then Washington at plus 900. Washington has Oregon and Ohio State at home this year. They have one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the country in Damon Williams, who I'm also betting to win the Heisman Trophy at 80-1. I think he's a really nice long shot. Williams is a playmaker, and he's got great dual threat ability. He's got one of the better running backs in the Big Ten and Jonah Coleman behind him. Jed Fish is a really good play caller. High on Washington as well, and I'd look at Williams as a long shot for the Heisman Trophy. And then finally, to win the Big Ten this year and win the national championship, you guys know I'm all aboard the Penn State bandwagon. So give me Penn State plus 240 to win the Big Ten and plus 700 to win the national title as well. All right, let's talk week one college football games here on Send It In. Let's dive into some of these. We'll start with the game on Thursday night, which I can't wait for. Number 25, Boise, is at USF. Boise laying 6.5 right now with the total of 63.5. Keep an eye on the total. I think an over might be worth a look here. Boise State last year opened up the road against Clay Helton, USC's former coach, and Georgia Southern. That was like a 56-45 type game. Both teams just going up and down the field. I think this game could also be a shootout as well. Boise, obviously life without Gentry is going to be difficult, and I think in the first game especially. Their quarterback is returning, offensive line's improved, receiving core is pretty solid, defense should be pretty good again. Last year they led the nation in sacks. Don't think they're going to do that again, but I still think they'll be pretty good. But I think life without Gentry in that first game on the road is going to be a big adjustment for the Broncos. And then on the other side, USF is one of my favorite group of four quarterbacks in the country, group of five quarterbacks in the country. Byron Brown, he's terrific. Alex Golish, their head coach, is a disciple from Josh Heupel, who's the head coach at Tennessee. You watch USF play, it's very much like watching Tennessee play. It's a very difficult offense to scheme for. Defense returns 8 starters this year. USF plus 6.5. Think they might pull off the upset as well. Look at the money line at plus 200. Auburn and Baylor in Waco Friday night. Cannot wait for this game. Auburn's -2.5. The total in the game is 57.5. You guys know I love Baylor this season. I think they're winning that league. I don't think they're going to win on Friday night, though. I like Auburn money line at minus 135. I think Hugh Freeze is a better coach than Dave Aranda, for one. I think both quarterbacks are probably comparable. Maybe Sawyer Robertson's a little bit better, but Auburn, I just think, has better overall talent. They have one of the best receiving rooms in all of college football. And Hugh Freeze's offense, I think, is a little bit more difficult to prepare for in week one if you're not used to it. It's going to be a tight game, close game, well played. I like Auburn money line against Baylor. Texas, Ohio State, obviously the big one on Saturday, kicks off at noon. Ohio State now up to a 2.5-point favorite. We talked about yesterday. They were 1.5. Now they're taking money, going back up to 2.5. I keep going back and forth on this game. I think at the money line prices right now, Ohio State minus 120 would be the play. If we get a 3 again with Texas, which I don't think we will, but if we get +3 with Texas, that will be my best bet. I do like Texas at +3 a lot. I just think we're underestimating Ohio State. Kind of feels like the world is on Texas at the moment. And whenever we kind of overestimate Ohio State and everybody goes into a game thinking they're going to lose, that's when they tend to show up and play pretty well. So leaning Ohio State right now, Texas +3, that I will be on. Bama and Florida State, give me Bama in the first half at -7 against the Seminoles. Total in the game is 50.5. Don't want to lay the 2-touchdown spread with Bama full game. Watching Kellen DeBoer last year in year one at Bama, the thing that stood out to me was how great the Tide were with extra time to prepare. What they did against Georgia in that first half, what they did against LSU in that first half, I mean, guys, they were leading Georgia 28-0 at the end of the first quarter. LSU, they were kicking them in the butt as well. So both of those games, when they have multiple weeks to prepare, great game plans, great scripted stuff, the schemes were working really well. I think they're going to do that same stuff against Florida State. 14's a lot of points, so you worry about maybe a backdoor cover late in the game. I'll just take Bama -7 in the first half at BetMGM. And then finally, LSU and Clemson. We'll save some of these games for tomorrow as well. But the other big one, LSU and Clemson top 10 matchup. Clemson favored by 3.5 with a total of 57.5. I think this is finally the year that Brian Kelly and LSU win an opening game. This game reminds me a lot of the Texas A&M and Notre Dame game from last year. A&M was a three-point favorite at home, just like Clemson was. And in that game, Notre Dame, or I should say A&M, had the big advantage at the line of scrimmage. A&M had returned like a bunch of their offensive linemen. They were great on the defensive line. Notre Dame had to welcome in just about four new offensive linemen, but they played great, and they had a veteran quarterback in Riley Leonard that helped them out, just like LSU does with Garrett Nussmeier. LSU's got to bring in four new offensive linemen to this game, but I think they're going to play really well. I think LSU plays really well, and I think we're overrating Cade Klubnik, who more often than not has not played well in a lot of these big-time matchups. I'll take LSU plus 3.5 and on the money line at plus 145 against Clemson as well. All right, a promo from our friends at BetMGM. It's an Any Sport Parlay Boost token. BetMGM account holders will receive an Any Sport Parlay Boost token. Score a bigger payout if your wager with the Parlay Boost token hits. Tokens can be used on parlays and short game parlays. All right, you guys, time for PJ's plays now here on Send It In. Our pick today for going streaking is going to be Taylor Ward against Patrick Corbin. Taylor Ward, 6-for-15 in his career against Corbin. He's going to be our guy today in going streaking. Prop lock, we're taking Iowa over 7.5 wins at plus 115. Tough schedule, but I think they have a chance to beat both Penn State and Oregon at home this season. Dog of the day, Diamondbacks plus 135 against the Brewers. Mizorowski's on the mound for Milwaukee. He has not been good here as of late. Milwaukee's lost their last two series, so they've been stumbling after that 14-game win streak. I'd look at the Snakes today, plus 135, and then Penn State to win it all. I'm planting my flag with James Franklin. I think this is their year. I'm taking Penn State to win the Natty at plus 700. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Thanks again to Porter Larson. Tomorrow, more college football talk. Chase Kitty going to join us. We'll see you guys then. Have a great rest of your day.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke.
and a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.